Kathy Petito, the 23-year-old
Blog
Talk Radio. In Wyoming last month, after her fiancé Brian Laundrie returned from a cross-country road trip without her. House Democrats have some critical decisions to make in the coming days about President Biden's agenda. That's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi opened a briefing. She said she's disappointed about the Democratic infighting over the $3.5 trillion social spending bill. Pelosi called the measure transformative. The California Democrat indicated she's not sure how everything will shake out and said there will be tough choices over what to cut. Global supply chain issues are hitting stores across the U.S. and driving up prices. As major ports deal with an unprecedented pileup of cargo containers, major retailers say they're scrambling to fill their shelves with certain items. Grocery stores report a thin supply of dog food, Rice Krispies treats, Sour Patch Kids, Ben & Jerry's ice cream, Marie Callender's pot pies, and other items. Home Depot has started chartering ships to get around the supply chain crisis to make sure decorations, plumbing supplies, heaters, and more are in stock. Supply chain slowdown is being caused by several factors, including a shortage of truck drivers and shipping containers. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story. Or schedule a demo.
Some people treat investing like a game, but Marcus by Goldman Sachs approaches investing in a smart way with digitally managed portfolios that leverage Goldman Sachs strategies. So, do you want to play games or do you want your money to work smart? You can money. Visit Marcus.com to learn more about saving, borrowing, and investing from Marcus by Goldman Sachs.
Investing involves risk and investments may lose value. Brokerage and investment advisory services by Goldman Sachs & Company, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Lending and deposits products provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for alternative talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see. Looks like partly cloudy skies start the day off, moving to more clouds and a slight chance of rain after 2 o'clock later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 52 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain on and off. Low temperatures dropping down to about 44. For Wednesday and running up into the weekend, more clouds and showers expected. High temperatures in the mid-50s with clouds and rain still in the evening. Low temperatures in the upper 40s.
Hi, I'm JVK Winnikin, host of This Show Is All About You. If you're like me, you seek many things in your life. Adventure, meaning, belonging, you have dreams, you want fun, and of course, you want love. And we also want other people to join us along the path. But what happens when you don't know how to have all that, or where to start? Well, join me every week to learn more about how, because I am just like you. So join me each week here on KKNW for This Show Is All About You, a show about how you and me become we and what that means for all of us. And be sure to visit my website, wordsbyjdk.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. It's coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. Welcome to the show. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you so very, very much for doing that and for doing it for so long. Thank you for the letters that you've been sending us. And, you know, we also have asked you questions about our launch, the additional channels, and please stay tuned for that. We're going to be sending a lot of information out about that as we unfold that and ask your opinion about everything from do you like the logo or don't you like the logo? Because it's about dreams coming true. It's about dreams coming true. And this is really where I want to start the show today, saying hi to Benny, saying hi to Jessica, saying hi to Olivia. This is where I want to start the show today. I met Mike Murphy a couple of years ago. And I got a hold of one of his books, and I was just blown away by it. And when I and interviewed him about it, so if you want to go listen to those interviews, you can certainly go do that. And when we sat down and we talked about the creation frequency, and that was what was in front of us at the time, I also discovered something else. And, you know, as this journey continued with Mike and his show and his book, I discovered that underneath all of this, we can be touched by love and hope in ways that are so profoundly powerful. But many of us don't really talk about it. You know, many of us kind of hold things within. But that's not Mike. That's not Mike Murphy. He's not gonna do that. Today's show is so special and so timely because it's a remembering for all of us. Living in color, a love story, in sickness and in health, with my very special guest, Mike Murphy. Now, you should know this about Mike, and I'm just going to give you a little information, and then we're going to go. We're going to just take off. When I think about Mike, you've heard his shows. He and I have so much in common, right? You know, you grow up in a family that's alcoholic, let's just say, for lack of a better term. You know, you look at gratitude in many, many ways, different ways, actually. And, you know, here you are. You look at the people and the changes they make to eradicate addiction, to make those transformations, right? You know, to look at the many, many ways that life brings us events. But more importantly, if you know Mike, you're looking at not just what comes to you, but you're looking at how things will change. Now, Mike and I also have a couple of things in common. We've been kicked out of schools, right? I got kicked out of Catholic boarding school. Who does that? But that's not what it is. You know, what it is, we find ourselves going through life and deciding we're going to make the change. We're going to do this. Maybe over here we're going to go to a 12-step meeting. Maybe over here we're going to take a look and somebody says to us, hey, your life, it's a mess. It's just a mess. And maybe what we're going to do is we're going to listen. And once we get the gift of these people that have come forward, once we get the gift of that, something changes inside of us as it has for Mike. And what changes is we start to think about how we can help others. That's what the creation frequency is about. You can hear about that. But what does it also do for us? Maybe people that never thought they'd be able to love or understand what unconditional love is. What happens when you find it? What happens when you love so very, very deeply that the loss of that love and the journey that you're willing to go on or somebody you love found that you have to share the story with the world? That's what Mike and I are talking about today, Living in Color. Is a story about his wife Margot's 9-year battle with cancer, but it's so much more. It's so much more. It's Mike telling a story, sharing this with us, the ups and downs, the ins and the outs. Why? Because we are living in it now. And if you can understand how important this book is, and today we're going to tell you how you can get your copy of it, but more important than that, then you go and you say, I'm going to create a foundation. I'm going to create Love from Margot Foundation because I want to help other people. See, when you've been touched like this, something changes in you, and that's how you change the world. Mike, it's so great to have you here.
Thank you, Pat. And I just want to say one thing, that being on right now with you is like, you know, I think if we surrender and we let life, we just jump in the river of life and go with it, that we're protected to a certain extent. Because, and 2 hours ago, I was freaking out, you know, and because, you know, the launch of this book and dealing with Amazon and all these problems, and then to come and be on your show with such a big-hearted woman. For you guys up there in Seattle, you have a special person there broadcasting it. I first met Dr. Pat, you know, I think it was 2018 when Creation Frequency came out. So just you've given a lot of comfort to my heart with that introduction. So I'm very grateful for that. Thank you.
You know, Mike, I want to start out with a very interesting place. Many people may look at us and think, that dude is still alive? Are you kidding? He didn't crash and burn. And I want to ask you this question as we start to talk about the book. How did love for Margot change Mike Murphy?
Well, you know, so it's so interesting. You know, first of all, we probably never should have even been together. And the first moment that we met, there was a connection, an energetically connection, so deep into the eyes and the soul. But at the time, she came to sell me something, and it wasn't appropriate for us to discuss that. But for 7 months, we worked together, and she was falling in love with me, unbeknownst to me, and I was falling in love with her, unbeknownst to her. And we weren't in a position where we could easily be together. We had other relationships going on. But there was something on a soul level here that for 7 months, we worked together, falling in love. And then when we created this relationship, Plato talked about twin flames, where one soul cut in half, and we spend many lifetimes looking for the other half. And when you find that other half, you feel a completeness, a wholeness that you've never felt before. And it's so powerful, so addictive. But with that said, it can also be very, very painful because you're looking in the mirror 24/7. So you're seeing everything you love about yourself, but you're already seeing everything you don't love about yourself. And so there's a lot of power in a love like that, but also a lot of controversy, drama, you know, it's not that simple. You know, there's a great author, speaker, Carolyn Mace, and she said, talking about soulmates, she said, your soulmate might not be your romantic partner, you know, this deep love. It's the person that drives the stake into your soul and heart the deepest. That is your soulmate. And so in the case with Margot, you know, I feel like, you know, she was younger than me, much more involved than me for sure, but she grabbed a hold of my heart and she refused to let go until I would open it. And she'd always tell me, Mike, you need to be vulnerable. I didn't know what she was talking about. I swear to God, the day I became vulnerable was the day that she died. And we can talk about the book and the 6 months prior to that death. But when she died, it was in that moment that I had no defenses. I was helpless. And I believe that God, my creator, whoever you want to call that, your higher power, came in and filleted open my heart and was able to take out all the BS, arrogance, selfishness, and replace it with love. And so that's how I started living from that place. And that took a while to get grounded, you know, because I went out into the world, this big open heart and all right brain and no left brain. And, you know, it took me a while to get grounded, but thank you for asking.
Well, and because I love that you share that, you know, and again, that's something you and I have in common. Why do we have that in common? I mean, if we step back, and that's another show we can do, and certainly we've talked about it, we step back. This is our level of protection we had to have around our heart. If you grew up where you grew up and I grew up where I grew up,
right,
you know, there's
right.
a certain level of stuff that we need. I developed a whole brand about it called crust busting, okay? But it got me up to a point. Here's the thing that so gets you. And I want to say this to everybody, and I think, Jessica, you're showing copies of the book, and I just want everybody to see it. But this is a message for all of you. Right now, I want to read something here because it's not any talk to what Mike's talking about. We'll talk more about the book, but just this is something that if we were to invite you today to do is to not shut your heart so completely, regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of whether you voted for this guy or that guy or this, that, or whatever. This here, right here, listen to this, to Margot. Jeez. I'll be right there. To Margot, words can never express my love and gratitude for all that you gave me. You were and still are my greatest teacher. Together, forever, whenever. And to anyone who is by cancer. I'm going to take a short break when we come back. Fill in the blank to anyone that's ever been affected by, fill in your own word. But cancer, the word, the journey we're going to talk about, what Mike is doing right now, the foundation, the way he gives back, you will get a sense by the end of the show that this is more than a book. And we're going to give you an opportunity to support this and support other people that have struggled with cancer. Some of them have made it, some of them are not. But what the world has cut off from healing, what we are cut off from truly having access to what we really need to heal, this is the time to change. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with Mike Murphy.
You have traits of ADD or ADHD? It can be hard to meet society's expectations of productivity when traditional approaches to time management and organization don't work for your unique brain. You need customized strategies. In the ADHD Self-Mastery Podcast with Bonnie Mengku, you get concise, actionable solutions to help you modify your approach and achieve your goals. Learn more about Bonnie at thrivewithADD.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace. Every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more info.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne, and the Realm of Being each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Being.
Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. It's no secret that anxiety and overwhelm are on the rise. While the tendency is to suppress these feelings, anxiety is really a messenger that's telling you something is off, very off. You might be shooting yourself and living a life based on someone else's expectations. Maybe you have trouble saying no, or maybe you're following the fearful voice in your head that commands you to do more, be more in order to feel worthy. So see where you can make a few adjustments in what you're doing to get rid of the overwhelm and create more peace inside instead. To get more tips like this, tune into my Transformation Talk radio show called Coffee with Universe. It's a live call-in show. I'd love to chat with you.
Everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. Yes, this is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your heart. I'm just saying right now. We really need to do more of that. And I'm not saying it's easy. That's why Mike's here. But today we're talking about living in color. It is a love story. It is a love story in sickness and in health with Mike Murphy. It is a story that talks about not just a very deep love, but how love and loss literally opens you up, opens your heart. And then what you do with that is you turn around and you say, I'm going to do some good in the world. I'm going to tell this story. And I love that Mike is doing this. So what I want to say right now is the book is available, and Mike's going to tell you, as usual, what he has done to give back to all of you. But the book is available, and the best way to find out more about this is we're going to be able to give you websites, lovefrommargot.org, lovefrommargot, and it's margot.org is one way, mountainsofhope.com, and certainly the Creation Frequency. But Mike, tell us what happens when people get the book now.
Okay, so great. So first of all, let me just briefly tell you what the book's about. So on November 29th, 2010, Margot was told by her oncologist that the cancer that she'd been fighting for 8 years had spread through the lining of her brain and her cerebral spinal fluid. And if she did nothing, she had 6 weeks to live. And if she treated it, she had 6 months to live. And so the book focuses on those 6 months, and with flashbacks into our love story, how we came to be, so on and so forth. So I will tell you this about the book. It's a page-turner. Even though you know what's going to happen, you just keep turning the pages. It's so dramatic what she went through. And I'm just a witness to this story, okay? Because here's the beauty of her. This is what's going on in the world today. And this is why, you know, this book's been completed since 2015. Why hasn't it been published? Good question. One, looking back on now, I don't think I was emotionally ready. But two, I think it serves the world better now because every one of us today is looking at the world and going, whoa, what happened? What's going on? And we're feeling the fear. There's a collective consciousness of fear out there that, and we're all connected by the same energy, ladies and gentlemen. You and I are connected. So when you suffer, I suffer, okay? And now we have this huge world suffering and confused. And so guess what? Every day we wake up and we have to look at fear. And so every day Margot woke up looking at death and fear. And every day she chose love. And that's the message of the book. And that's why it's so inspirational. You're going to meet a young woman that was so far beyond her years, the way she dealt with this. Every day she fought to live another day while preparing for her final breath. And all I wanted to do was, as someone that was blessed to witness this amazing person go through this with that kind of attitude, I just wanted to honor her and tell the story. And now is the perfect time. So I'd really encourage you. You're going to love the book. You are going to cry. You're going to be inspired. But I think you're going to come away a more courageous person. And believe me, I think for the future, the next few years, we need to get strong and healthy, physically, mentally, emotionally strong, and find some courage. Because I don't know what's coming down the road, but whatever's coming is coming fast, and we've just got to be prepared, ladies and gentlemen. That's my message for today. Mm-hmm. So if you buy the book, and you can buy it at Amazon.com, you can go to lovefrommargot.org. We have all the reviews. The reviews have just blessed my heart. We have testimonies. I think there's a testimonial there from Mariel Hemingway, the actress, and mm-hmm. all kinds of things. But if you buy the book and then you send me proof of purchase, you can send it to mike@lovefrommargot.org, M-A-R-G-O-T, mike@lovefrommargot.org, and I will send you, as a gift from me, the Creation Frequency online course, okay? It retails for $197. I paid in 1982 $350 for this information. It is very, very unique. No one talks about it. It's the most unique way to use the law of attraction and manifest into your physical reality what you truly desire. Because here's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever we desire and we feel in our heart, and then we use a mind and create a thought, and we send that out into the universe, it becomes our physical reality. For example, Steve Jobs had a desire for this. And he used the power of his mind to create a plan. and now it's in my hand. Everything that comes into your physical life starts here and here, and it goes out and it comes back. It's called the law of attraction. Believe me, you're doing it already, okay? I promise you. You've attracted everything. You've created everything in your life. And when we take responsibility for that, guess what? We're no longer a victim. And when we're no longer a victim, now we're powerful. And when we take that power back and we learn this very simple technique, which I'm going to give to you in this course, then you can create the life you can. So that's my desire, really, is to serve others. And I just want you to read this book. And I want to sell this book because this book is very personal and powerful, and I want to give you this gift. Yeah. So there you go.
And I want to say something about the book, too. This is what I was struck by in my second read through it. We get to meet Margo. Okay. We get to meet Margo. And I learn a little bit more about Margo. First of all, I learned a little bit about her spirit. And there's a part in the book where you're at a wedding or something, and she must have a wig on her head. And as I'm reading about this, and she comes out and she's angry, and she says, "Mike, why didn't you tell me I look like this?" Right? You know, like almost like, how did you let me walk around like this? Right? And we get to meet her, but the excerpts in here, we didn't talk about this last time, but I really want to mention it. You know, there are words that are in here that are from her as well as you. And when I went back to read them, I just went, oh, my gosh. I got to know her in today's world. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
I read this before when I first met you, but I got to read this now 2 years into where we are, and it had more meaning for me. But what I love about this is you.
Mm-hmm.
You did something that, believe it or not, I don't know if you're up on statistics, Mike, but statistics of people staying together in love, in marriage, in anything, after one of the people has been diagnosed, the statistics of divorce in those situations are something like 80%.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, what was going through your heart when you got this news? What went through your heart? What were the emotions?
It's even more deeper than that, because I had a big decision to make, because, see, when we met, we were both married to other people. And this book is real. I mean, it's messy, it's intense, but it's transparent, and it's honest, and it's real. This is real. Life is messy, right? And at least mine is. And so there I was, you know. And by the way, I had married my first wife twice. I had 4 children. I had a lot of money. I was the last person on planet Earth ever to get divorced. I guarantee you, the 4 years that we were divorced was the most painful time of my life. And when I got her back, it was the happiest day of my life. I was never getting divorced. And the day I met Margo, she came into my office to sell me advertising. She'd only been married 2 months. And we are proper people. We're not one to just, you know, to hurt people, you know. And that was our big dilemma. And that's why, you know, it was ugly. But here I am, you know, 4 children, married his wife, and now my girlfriend has stage 3 breast cancer, and I mean, that's part of the story, ladies and gentlemen. I hate
it is.
But I mean, that was the thing. So this was my personal struggle, and it came down to this. Well, one, as I said, we were twin flames. This was meant to be. I was meant to be there for her, for this journey of her life, and she's still with me today. If you read the book and you go to the very end, and I think that's why we waited, because I write about the last 9 years in spirit and the things that have happened to me with her. I mean, it's mind-blowing, that's all I can tell you. So the point is this, you know, if we let go and we trust everything, eventually, there's a silver lining in everything, and even in her death and everything, there's silver linings, right? And so that's why we have to stay diligent. But sometimes we have decisions to make that are very, very difficult. And you know, I know in that case, that one was very, very difficult. And then I asked myself, well, if I don't stay with her, can I live with myself?
Yeah, exactly.
And once I answered that question, you know, and I flew all the way one night from California to Cincinnati to meet with a spiritual leader that I respected, and he said, Mike, which person makes you the best version of yourself? And then the decision was over. I thought he was going to give me a big lecture in the Bible and this and that. And this. No, Mike, which person will make you the best version of yourself? So the decision became easy, but it was a struggle in the beginning.
There's so much here, and there's so much that I love about this. But it is about the journey that we take. It is about the realizations. And it's also, Mike, about your willingness to really look in the mirror and then do something about it. I just want to be really clear. We all get to look in a mirror. We all get to look in a mirror. You know, we get to look in a mirror, and what we see sometimes is, oh, I got that big fat job. I'm making that law. Look at all the money I'm making. We look in the mirror, and we're okay with that. And then one day, we look in the mirror, and we're like, oh, I am unrecognizable to myself.
Right.
I've got to change. And, you know, from this point, though, you all made some decisions to get help, to get support, to find what sickness and in health is, to redefine health in the journey. I mean, this, of course, is that book, but it's also a book of not giving up, to look at options, to really, you know, what was that like for you? Because this led you then to Love for Margaret Foundation, Mountains of Hope Retreat Center. I mean, this is not just a book. This book became a catalyst for you to get out there and say, Margot has left with us a legacy. So this wasn't over. What did you learn in the journey with her, the wellness journey?
Yeah, so let me say this. First of all, and then the other thing about the book, if you buy the book, the proceeds go to the Love for Margaret Foundation. And I'm going to explain what that used to do and what it does now in a second. But that's important too, right? So, but the thing is that, you know, if I knew what I knew now, okay, and I was the person I am now, I really believe that Margaret would still be alive, okay? But we can't go back in time. She used to always say, we can't rewind time, and she's right. So here's the truth. So after Margot died, here I was with this big open heart. And then a friend of mine called me up, and he said, Mike, my sister-in-law is moving from Wyoming or Montana, I can't remember which, to the Bay Area. Stage 4 breast cancer, 38, same age as when Margot passed, 3 children, not married, a minority, not that great of insurance. And he said, can you take her to Margot's oncologist? Because she's new in town. I said, sure. So we go there. And he says, okay, we're going to order some tests. Come back in a couple of weeks, and we'll figure out what we're going to do. So I went with Amanda, and we surgery here, a little procedure there, some testing there. And we became very close friends, right? But what I noticed is that they treated her differently than how Margot was treated. You know, Margot had good insurance. She had resources. I was always there with her. And it was a different experience. With Amanda, I noticed they either talked down to her over her head. And I couldn't say anything, but I just kind of felt uncomfortable, right? But then we went back to our oncologist, Margot's oncologist, and he said, okay, Amanda, the best protocol to extend your life are these 3 chemotherapies simultaneously. Unfortunately, your insurance will only pay for one, and that's all I can give you. And I got to tell you, I just blew my mind. I mean, we're talking about someone's life here, you know? And I just didn't know the world existed like that, to be honest with you. I mean, shame on me, right? But I said, hey, here's my credit card, and you give her whatever she needs. I mean, I had no other choice than do that.
Right.
And that was what became the Love for Margaret Foundation. So now fast forward. And the next thing I know, I meet a 33-year-old. Breast cancer spread to the brain, okay? And she says to Mike, will you just make sure I don't die alone in a hospital? I said, sure. So when she got to that point, I'm paying for round-the-clock nursing care, right? But she wouldn't die. I almost went broke. God bless her. I love Renee. She was a dear friend as well. But Renee, you're babysitting me here. So, and then woman after woman after woman, mostly minority, the stories are horrendous.
Yeah.
They're treated horrendously. They don't have a chance, right? And here I am paying for their rent, paying for transfer. We're giving them financial grants because they get sick. They don't have money to begin with. They lose their job. Their expenses go up, and they're screwed. But after 3 or 4 years of that, it was always the same. Cut off 1 or 2 breasts. Put a hole here, fill it with poison or chemotherapy. And then the outcome was usually very, very bad and devastating, right? And so I'm going through all this money and going, hey, this doesn't work. So, okay, let's switch gears. So I buy water purifiers and juicing machines and fruits and vegetables. Okay, well, now they think I'm their doctor. Well, I'm a car salesman, so that wasn't enough. So now, then I tried to work with the youth in Oakland, and then I finally said, okay, that's enough. So I'm here in South America, in Medellin, Colombia, and we're starting next year. We're doing these 22-day transformational health retreats. And now these women, and it's what I call conscious capitalism or spiritual capitalism. So we have 10 or 12 paying guests that will come, and then we'll give scholarships to two or three women from the Love for Margot Foundation. These are women below the poverty line. 95% of them are minorities. They have no money. They really have no hope. And we're going to bring them here, and we're going to put them in an environment that is so powerful and healing. But more importantly, now we're going to detox the body, you know, and we're going to give them IVs of what they need and strengthen the immune system so they can fight for themselves. But we're also going to educate them of how the body works, the lymph system, and how to detox it, and what good nutrition looks like, and how much water should you drink. Then we're going to get in here and say, okay, what are your limiting beliefs? What's holding you back, and how can we reprogram? That's why it's 22 days, because we're going to get in here, and we're going to create new neural pathways that will serve you in your healing journey. Then we're going to go in here, because almost all illnesses have some sort of emotional wound linked to them, and we're going to clean this up, and we're going to get forgiveness and get rid of resentment and find love and service. And so now I believe that these women are going to be able to take their power back, learn how to heal themselves, and at least have a fighting chance. And if nothing else, you know, I don't care if they don't live one more extra day, they're not going to suffer that process is right now. So that's where we're at. And by the way, you know, this retreat for the paying guests is for everybody. You know, but I'm doing what I know what would have healed Margaret. That's what I'm doing. And more importantly, what's going to extend my life, because I'm building this as if I were going to do this to what I would need to live longer and to be healthy and to be able to serve the world. So it's a win-win-win. And by the way, if you do send me proof of purchase of the book, we're also going to enter you into a raffle, which we do in a week from tonight, and you can win a 22-day transformational health freedom at Mountains of Hope. And we're also doing a one-week liver flush and detox in December, one in January, one in February. So we're going to give one of those away, so that's three in total. So there's some raffle prizes that we're going to give. We're having a virtual launch party tonight, if you can join us, 5 p.m. Pacific. And you know,
Dr. Pat
is graciously agreed to be our host, thank God. And so like, it's going to be fun. It's going to be loose. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, you know, listen, this Creation Frequency Online course is not going to make your life easier. It's going to make it better. Okay, life is hard. Okay, let's accept that fact. Life is hard, especially now, and we got to get tougher and smarter and stronger, and that's what this course is going to give you. And now you're going to have the tools to create a much better life. But it still takes work, okay? That's the problem with Think and Grow Rich and The Secret and all. Hey, listen, it all works, okay? And you're all doing it right now. I'm just going to show you how to do it with intention. But more importantly, you still got to show up. You still got to get out of bed. And so you know, that's what life's about. And let's embrace that, and let's enjoy that, and let's make that fun.
Yeah, and let me just tell everybody, if you go to lovefrommargot.org, when you go there, there's the book, right? Yeah. There's the book. You can actually find out about the book. You're going to find out a lot more. And I think that's where the information is going to be also about tonight's event. I want to just stay with what you said, because I would have been where Margo is. Well, I don't know if I'd have been where Margo is. I may have been at that other place, just saying. Just saying right now. But the way that it happened, this is how I love the way the universe, God, whatever you believe in, whatever you call it, I love the way it works. Because there's a reason you and I are here talking about this. We were not meant to go that pathway. We were meant to do something with what we've learned. You see that? See, I can only imagine what your life would be like right now, how much of a mess it would be if you didn't take action. Same thing with me. Because I know when I decided to leave this after 6 months, 18 years ago, and I just took all the pressure from everybody, why are you spending money and not making money? I didn't have a good answer. Probably you didn't have a good answer to that either.
Still
people are like, what are you doing? But the reason we're talking about this is because I was lucky. I had the angel lady who's been with me from my first week in 2003 show. And the angel lady said, 2003, she said to me, the angels are telling me that you need to find a doctor that administers T3. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to sound ignorant, but I was like, T3, okay. And then I Googled it. Two people came up back then. Dr. Nusheen Darvish, naturopath. And I went in there, storming. Dr. Darvish saved my life. By the way, for those of you out there, you know, this is what happens when you take a bold action in the United States of America and you decide you are going to help people naturally. When you make that decision in the United States of America, you better either live in Washington State or move to Washington State. And that angel lady saved my life. Of course, I went in there with the whole T3 story. Dr. Darvish looked at me. We were in a little small place at the time. And she looked at me and says, I got good news. What? Okay. Nothing wrong with your thyroid. I said, oh, good. She said, now we got to peel the onion back so we can get you well. And I went on a 10-year journey with what everybody called a mystery disease with really no hope in sight. And I've shared that story, Mike, the way you're sharing it, because we have got to talk to people to let them know there's another way, to let them know that there is a way we can educate ourselves. But I will tell you your story about the community of people you referenced. I grew up in that community. We have to help them restore trust again, because I'm telling you, the way people have been treated, they don't trust. But isn't that part of what you're doing? First of all, by offering the book, Everybody Living in Color, buy the book, and you're going to see everything you're getting. Then you're paying it back. Then you're giving it back. But you're not just giving back at that level. You're saying, I have discovered, and you said it so well, if I'd have known now, I'm paraphrasing, if I knew then what I know now, we may have had a different outcome.
Yeah.
If I didn't go through 10 years of this on air with Darvish, Ronnie, all these people whose licenses were getting threatened back then, all the doctors I interviewed, all the natural doctors, all the herbalists. So beyond hope and love, isn't this another way for you to extend Margot's vision to help people?
Yeah, and let me share. I hope you guys read this book, because she was a remarkable person. I mean, she's literally dying, right? Terminal illness. And I remember one time we're driving to a hospital to do something, and she couldn't sit up. She had to lay down. So it was like we took the SUV, made it into like a makeshift ambulance. And she's texting my nephew, who's going to surgery that day, and arranging to send him a pillow and a blanket because he has like a 10-hour surgery. And she's more concerned about him than her. And this is what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I'm trying to do. This is what Dr. Pat does. People are suffering. People are suffering at a very deep level today, and there's way too much of it. That's why the world is out of balance. And that suffering, you know, we have our individual consciousness. We can control that. But there's the collective, and that's going to flow towards us. And so how do we fix this? Because, you know, whatever's going on in the world is insane at the moment. So how do we fix it? We've got to raise the consciousness. We need to take the word love and make it into a verb. And when we do that, then we have compassion for those less fortunate. And there's 7.5 billion people or so. And if half of us would lift up someone less fortunate, just, and I don't care if it's a smile, I don't care if it's a kind word, I don't care if it's across the street, I don't care if it's a drive to hospital, I don't care if it's reading a book to an older person in an old person's home or whatever it is. Okay, whatever you can do every day to raise that consciousness of love and compassion, that's how we shift this thing. That's how we make heaven back on the earth. That's how we take control, and that's how we end the suffering. We've got to end the suffering. Too many people are suffering. And people, you know, in Oakland, they destroyed the African-American community there, okay? So, and we can go in and debate how it happened, but it's economic, ladies and gentlemen. It's more economic than it is race. It's just they've been mistreated for too long economically and not given the chance, right? And so this is what we got to fix. So if all of us would just help someone else that's less fortunate than us, I don't care what that looks like, just do it. And more importantly, you'll be shocked at the blessing you receive. I always say that you can't outgive God. And the more you give, the more you get. And that is the real spiritual law of the universe. You know, they call it, if I could drop this all day long, it's called gravity, right? Let me tell you something. You give, it comes back. Not 1x, not 5, 10x, 20x, 50x. And that's not why I give. That's just a side benefit of opening my heart and serving others. So please, do something for someone less fortunate, and you'll be amazed at what happens to you in their life.
And I want to say this. You know, if you're thinking about getting a copy of the book, think about somebody else that might benefit from it, because I've paid forward more books than you can imagine. As a matter of fact, I would love to give a copy of the book away right now. 1-800-930-2819. I'd love to give a copy of the book away. Mike, I want to go towards a part of the book, and I know there's so much to talk about, but I got to tell you, I got to this part of the book again, and I just had to put my eye makeup on again today and the whole thing. But I got to the part of the book where you are renewing your vows. And if I might, if I could, I want to read something about what this comes down to. And for those of you, you'll find it in the book. If you have the book, or you're going to get the book. And thank you, by the way, for putting the pictures in the book. Most people do not put pictures in the book for some strange saving cost of publishing thing.
Right.
But there's a part in this book that I got to, and there's a beautiful picture of Margot and Duke on the bed, which is Duke is Margot's first love, of course.
Exactly.
And she starts by saying this. And I'm going to get to the part that I just can't get out of my mind. I still can't believe this is our life, she says, as I come to stand behind her and she leans against me. All these beautiful moments, you know, when I was a little girl, I was afraid of death. But what scared me most was that I might not be remembered. I might not savor the beautiful moments in my life. She goes on to talk about that. But then she goes right later on and she says, and then she says, you said we met 500 years ago, so maybe I've loved you for 500 years. Touching the ring on my finger, she continues, I don't think of one lifetime as enough for our love. I will love you for eternity. That's what our wedding ring symbolizes for me.
Yeah, I mean, here was an amazing thing. A couple things. One, after she had passed, and I'm packing everything up and moving, I find journals that she had written from age 12 to 38 when she passed. And even though she had told me every story of her life, reading it as a 12-year-old wrote, as a 14-year-old, as an 18, as a 24, it was just beyond mind-blowing. And she was so evolved. You know, she literally, in her journals, talked about that she was going to die before her younger sister. She was going to die before her parents. What she wanted her ashes, where she wanted her ashes spread. I mean, this, and she wrote that in her teens or early 20s, right? She knew stuff that, and then the last 6 months of her life, we started a blog called Send Margot Love. There were people all over the world praying for her and reaching out to us. But the depth of what she wrote in those blogs and in these journals, and that's what makes the book so rich.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, I'm flawed. She's flawed. We're just like everybody listening to this. We're just regular human beings trying to get by in this world, right? But she had a depth to her when it came to love and acceptance. And just, I'm telling you, you will love this book. You will fall in love with her. And by the way, mentioning that renewal vow scene, edlovesformargo.org, you can go to meet Margot, and there's video of that night, and it was just so profound. And so just one of the special moments, you know, always with me. So thank you for that.
And I want to make sure, please go to lovesformargo.org. And, you know, Mike also talked about the proceeds for the book. But also when you get a copy of the book, also the idea to help you as you're reading the book. But even before that is, you know, this is a commitment for Mike. You know, Mike Murphy, of course, You've seen his shows. You know what he's passionate about. But this is a part that I can't talk enough about. You know, when you have been touched in life, there's a next step for you, for all of us. There's this next step for all of us, whether it's loss, whether it's acquisition, whether you gain something or you lose something, whether you shift something or you let go of something. There are moments and opportunities for us to act differently, maybe even act better. And the fact, Mike, that what you're doing with this is you're pretty much giving away with the purchase of the book, not only things that you've learned, discovered, and taught, but things that people are using now in the creation frequency to change their own lives.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm so glad you're doing it.
Can I talk about the creation frequency?
Yeah, please.
First of all, ladies and gentlemen, this is 1982, okay? I'm in a 12 AA meeting, okay? I left home in the ninth grade. I was a habitual runaway juvenile delinquent, always getting in trouble, always getting arrested, always on the streets, right? And here I am at age 25, and I have a two-year-old baby. I abandoned my wife and my two-month-old baby, and now it's 2 years later. And this guy says, your life's a mess. But I might know somebody that can help you. And in the book, my first book, Love Unfiltered, we call him the Mystery Man. His name was Doug Fitzgerald. And he was a recovering alcoholic that was studying silver mind control and other things. And so he said to me, he said, Mike, you come here 1 hour a week for 7 weeks, and I promise you'll get everything you want in your life. I mean, come on. But here was the good news. I had nothing to lose. And I was like a sponge. And it's $50 an hour. By the way, I didn't have $50, and that felt like $5,000 today. So I think I wrote a bad check the first session. But anyway, but what he taught me, he said, Mike, we're going to break your life into six sections, okay? Because balance, we need balance. So you have family, you have career, you have money, you have contribution, you have these areas of your life, right? And each week we're going to write an intention. But here's the thing. There's no difference between imagination and reality. Whatever you can imagine, you can bring into your reality. So we're going to write it as if it already exists today. He says, what do you want most in your life? I said, man, I've been suffering for 2 years. I don't want someone else raising my daughter. I want to reconcile with my wife. Problem is, she hates my guts. I can barely pay the $187 a month child support. And he goes, don't worry about it. Write the intention. And he coaches me. Lisa and I are so happy in this marriage. Our daughter Michelle thrives in this marriage. Just a paragraph or two, but just powerful. It already exists. Next week, owning my own business. Next week, making 10 grand a month. Next week, contribution. Next week, health, right? And so week seven, this is 1982. He brings out a boombox. For you younger people, that's what we used to listen to music on. Okay? And he puts in a cassette tape with Theta Brainwave music. Then over here, he gives me a tape recorder and a microphone, and he hands me a relaxation script. He says, okay, I'm going to play the music, and you're going to read into this microphone the relaxation script, because we're going to get you into a self-hypnotic trance with that and the music so that these intentions can get through the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, and that's where the power is. And so then I want you to read each intention. So I left there 7 weeks later, $350 pool with a little white cassette tape. And he said, I want you to listen every morning and every night. And I wasn't religious about listening either, okay? But in 6 months, I owned my own restaurant. 2 years, she calls me up and asks me out on a date, we get remarried. I go from making nothing and being broke to a multimillionaire. I mean, it just happened, right? And so that's what I want to give you. So what we've done, we've created an app. It's embedded with David Brainwave music. It's a tape recorder. It's free. I'm giving you the course for free. If you want to buy the book, buy the book. I think it's $10. I mean, but grasp this concept, because it's in the Bible. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis, says God spoke the world into existence. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but the concept is true, okay? We create our physical reality with our emotions, our desires, and our thoughts and our mind. And you're doing it right now. But now when you start doing it with intention and you start seeing these things that you truly desire, now you have a bigger why. Now you jump out of bed. Now you can barely go to sleep. You're so excited. And things start to happen. Okay, yeah. So I want you to, you know, buy the book, send me proof. We send you the course. The app is free. And create a better life, because believe me, the time is coming. You're going to need it.
Yeah. And, you know, tonight, by the way, I just want to tell everybody that There is a special broadcast tonight, and I want to just make sure I got a couple of requests, and I want to make sure I announce these websites again. For those of you out there, again, you could take a look at what we're talking about. Love from Margot, NARGOT.org. There's the book. You can go there. You can buy it from there. The other thing is you can also go to the creationfrequency.com, thecreationfrequency.com, and Mike's telling you about it. If you want to find out more, you can go there. But the other thing I also want to make sure you all look at is Mountains of Hope. And we touched a little bit about this probably tonight in the special broadcast we are doing. You're going to find out more about it. And what I love about what Mike is doing is I love that when you go to mountainsofhope.com, or when you look here, and Mike says, the proceeds going to go, and this is what we're going to do. He really means it. But more importantly, if you are at that place where I was in 2004, unbelievably lost, not understanding anything about anything that I could do, just completely remotely unaware, there's never been a time for us to say yes to ourselves, and that's part of the journey. Mike, I know we're going to be talking again tonight. I can't thank you enough for doing this show. I especially want to thank you for releasing the book, and I hope that people do watch the video. It's not just a book about the journey, but you share and you let Margot and Margot's voice be heard throughout this book. And that combined with the level of heart opening, it really is a way for all of us to know that we can choose love and not hate.
You know, there's one of my favorite books, and I read it, my mother gave it to me when I was a teenager, and it's called Love is Letting Go of Fear by Gerald Zamholsky.
Oh, yeah.
And just a short little book. But you know, that's the whole thing, ladies and gentlemen, because fear, it lives in the brain, in the mind, okay? And that's where most of us live. And I say that the hardest, longest journey we ever take is 18 inches. It's from here to here. Because when we live with here, we can't be brainwashed. We can't be fooled. We can't turn on the news and get tricked, okay? This is our truth. This is our essence. This is our eternal, timeless consciousness that will never die. This is our essence. So when we live here and we use this magnificent supercomputer to create the plan to fulfill this,
yeah,
we are there. And then our gut instinct, that's what we can trust. This, ladies and gentlemen, I've been brainwashed so many times. I've been lied to. I've been tricked. I've been manipulated so many times. So I try, I still go here. Don't go. I still got work to do. But when I'm living, when I don't live here and I live here, it's actually more painful because you feel. But you know, I think it was a Descartes or somebody said, you know, I think, therefore I am. No,
yeah.
I feel, therefore I am. But we are taught not to feel, especially men. And there's a reason for that, because they know they can brainwash this and they know they can't trick this. So that's why I say, live here, use this to create the life of your dreams.
Mike Murphy, everyone. And don't forget, tonight, again, as we mentioned earlier, we're going to be doing a special broadcast. The book is available, by the way, on Amazon and other places. So just so you know, you can go to lovefrommargo.org, check it out. You could go to mountainsofhope.com and look at the retreat. Look at the thing that we're talking about today. And, Mike, I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much for all that you're doing. Thank you for not giving up the fight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Thank you all for tuning us in. We're going to take a really short break. Jessica, thank you. Benny, thank you. Olivia, thank you. Mike Murphy, Unfiltered as well, The Creation Frequency. Please, this, find this book. This book is going to help us save lives. Thank you all. We'll see you in a few.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Tuesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Well, good thing, folks, so far no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. Traffic is quieted down since this morning's rush. We still, however, have a little bit of slowing on 405 northbound around, looks like the interchange of 900 and Sunset Boulevard as you approach up through the Kennydale Hill around Northeast 30th Street. But it'll be smooth through the construction zone on the other side around Southeast 64th Street and, of course, the Newcastle area. And that's all right, too, because coming up next, after the news and weather, it's Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge, Radical Change with Ease, and On the Edge of Death and Dying, Part 2. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. An FDA advisory committee will meet this week to discuss emergency use authorization for Moderna vaccine boosters. However, FDA scientists claim Moderna's two-dose vaccine still provide enough protection against death or serious disease. An influential medical panel says most Americans shouldn't take aspirin to prevent first heart attacks or strokes. Sarah Lee Kessler reports.
The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force says that applies to people 60 and up. It's now recommending daily low-dose aspirin for adults in their 40s and 50s, only if their doctors determine they're at increased risk for heart disease.
The House has some critical decisions to make in the coming days about President Biden's agenda.
I want to pass the bipartisan legislation on infrastructure, but I will not confine my vision for the future to what can be in that bill.
The $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill is stuck in the dispute among Democrats over the price tag of the bigger bill. Students are returning to Timberview High School in North Texas today for the first time since last week's shooting. Superintendent Kimberly Cantu says they will have plenty of therapists available.
It is so very important that we ensure the physical and social and emotional safety of everyone.
Arlington Police says a teacher was released from the hospital yesterday. A student still hospitalized has been upgraded to good condition. Arlington Police arrested Timothy Simpkins, saying he pulled a gun inside a classroom. Wildfires out west, a freeze in the south, and hurricanes in the Gulf of Mexico have combined to make this one of the most expensive years ever for natural disasters. Rory O'Neill has more.
The cost of recovering from natural disasters keeps climbing, now topping $100 billion. NOAA reports there have been 18 disasters this year, each costing more than $1 billion. Most of the money has been spent on recovering from Hurricane Ida. NOAA says climate change and a growing population will keep pushing these disaster recovery costs higher.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Bill Wambly here. The first thing you're going to have to learn is until you stop expecting politicians or anyone else to change your life isn't going to change. The only person who can change your life is you, but you need to know how. Listen to my show, the Del Wambly Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW. And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see. It looks like partly cloudy skies to start the day off, moving to more clouds and a slight chance of rain after 2 o'clock later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 52 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain on and off. Low temperatures dropping down to about 44. For Wednesday and running up into the weekend, more clouds and showers expected. High temperatures in the mid-50s. There's clouds and rain still in the evening. Low temperatures in the upper 40s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready to challenge conventional beliefs about what's possible in creating health, wealth, and happiness. You are listening to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge. This hit show is providing you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. It is time to open and expand your awareness, accelerate your well-being as Megan shares wisdom, teachings, and experience from a lifelong journey of the heart. Enact the power of radical change with ease and lift your desires to a new perspective. Now, here's Playing on the Edge Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Playing on the Edge Radio. I'm one of your guest hosts, Megan Edge, and I get to be here with the amazing Pat, Dr. Pat, who has been my co-host for the last 4 years.
Wow.
This is our 48th episode. Can you believe that?
You know, I kind of knew something was up when I saw what you were going to talk about today and what we were going to engage in. And, you know, I can believe it. Here's why I can believe it, Megan. There's a realization, and I think that people are having it. They may not be having it the way you and I are having it, but I think folks are having it. And the way it starts to show up in life is by people having a really difficult time handling situations that they could have handled so easily before, or scenarios coming up that have been choose one way or another,
right?
Or interesting imaginative opportunities in life, or new directions in life, or new something in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think today's show and the work that you do and the work that you continue to do in, you know, as a master healer and a teacher and, of course, a public speaker, you know, the author of The Heart's Journey, so there's no absolutely aligned with what we're talking about here today, whether mm-hmm. we're looking at the oracle cards or whether we're looking at our own selves. And people work with you. They come to your workshops. They sit there for certification with you, the Confident Healer. You know, there are so many ways you have opened up the door for people to continue to come forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mind, body, and soul healing, energy healing, intuitive counseling. So, you know, we're here 4 years today, but we're here because there's a part of who you are and what you said yes to in this world that's so needed to continue to take the journey to prepare us to help people in the world today.
Yes, and my absolute focus has always been about empowering and demonstrating for people, empowering people and demonstrating to them their own capacity for healing, their own capacity to be responsible for their well-being, for their health, and to recognize where they may be giving that power over to other agencies, to their physicians, for example, to pharmaceutical companies, to anyone who is interested in disempowering someone around their health choices. My focus is on empowering people around their health choices because I really want people to understand just how vital and resilient they are. And what I've seen through my work, Pat, is that when people get tuned to that knowing, everything shifts. Everything changes. And although in this episode we're going to be talking about the end of someone's well-being and health and what that looks like and what that process is, and talking about how our culture views death and dying and what that experience is for us personally, whether we are the survivor or we are the person who is dying, it really is about empowering each of us to know what we're capable of and what we can move through. And so this is On the Edge of Death and Dying Part 2. We did part 1 2 years ago at the same time when my father passed away and I went through that whole process. And now it's happened again to a dear family friend, and it really brought everything back to the forefront of how it is that we can stand in a healing place to be there for someone else as they move through this, and then also to be there for ourselves. So this is going to be a very deep and also a really wonderful and celebratory episode.
And, you know, I want to talk about the heart opening that happens when we experience side by side with another, and, you know, why this show is also important, you know, in that there is a process that one goes through, but there is a way that each of us gets to stand up and show up. And sometimes we do it in ways that we didn't think we were capable of. See, I think this is why Matt James's quote to me, I don't know how many years ago, never left me. And every day I'm reminded of it, you know, where he would say to me, Pat, here you go. Whatever you think you are, you're more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've tried to prove him wrong.
time after time after time. I just want to call Matt one day and say, stop saying that quote. It's not true. But that's not the that's not what's happening, is it?
That's right. That's right. And every event that happens in our lives is an opportunity for us to step into ourselves a little more deeply and to push our envelopes and to move slightly outside of our comfort zone. And I'll give you an example of this. For those listeners who are not familiar with my father's story, very quickly after heart surgery, he ended up going downhill with myocarditis and a few other things that were all affecting his heart and his lungs, and he ended up on a ventilator. He had adult respiratory distress syndrome, is what the blanket term is called for this, and in an induced coma, and for about 2 weeks, and then we knew he wasn't getting better. In fact, he ended up with 3 major infections that he got in the hospital, and we had to make the fairly painful decision to pull him off of life support. And the reason that I'm sharing that is because in those moments of coming face-to-face with something as seemingly final as death, we have a choice as to how we are going to show up for that. And what was really interesting for me is that when I was in the ICU with him, and I was in there almost every day, actually I was there every day for those 2 weeks, and I was advocating for him. I was talking to his nurses. I was talking to his doctors. I was bringing in my essential oils and my aromatherapy. I was massaging him. I was touching him. And his lung specialist came in one day, and she said to me, oh, have you been hired by the family? Are you a medical professional? And I said, well, of a sort. And she looked at me, and I said, I'm his daughter. And she said, I'm sorry. I didn't realize most family members are too afraid to touch their loved one. She said most family members that she's seen, they stand in the corner and they weep. And that's okay. Also, here's this beautiful opportunity to create a very sacred space for someone if you're able to do so, and to really honor this process of watching and witnessing their death. And it's not something that we're taught to do in our culture. In fact, if anything, we're taught to be afraid of death. We're taught in the medical system, it's taught that death is the ultimate failure. So there's a disconnect between knowing how to stand in a death vigil for someone as much as you're in pain for what you're losing, and to have that be part of the healing process of this whole experience.
Mm. It is one of the most unique and beautiful witnessing ceremonies one can do, what you just described. It really is. And, you know, witnessing is one of my favorite words, you know, because time and time again, we find out how invisible people feel. And it doesn't matter what situation it is. You know, there are levels of invisibility because their journey, their story, their presence hasn't been witnessed in a loving and caring way. And I wanted to talk with you about this show in particular. And say, I'm so very sorry, you know, for your loss. And at the same time, I'm so honored about you bringing this conversation to the airwaves so that others can learn from this. Tell us about your loss.
So my dear friend, Trish Ashby-Wolf, and I'm very blessed to have known her, and I'm very blessed to be able to share her with you. I met Trish when I was 17 years old, and I'm now 52, so this is a very long friendship. She was dating my father, actually, when I first met her. And although she and my father didn't last, she and I did. And we used to joke that perhaps they came together so that she and I could reunite and see one another again, in the belief that there may be other lifetimes in which we connect with one another. And so, although she was old enough to be my mother, that was never the relationship that we had. We were very much equals. And in many, many instances, I helped her through a lot of the things that she was going through in her life. And equally, she helped me. I became her honorary daughter. That was how we described our relationship. And my daughters, for them, she was their honorary grandmother. One of 6 grandmothers. They've been very fortunate to have so many grandmothers. But beyond the personal relationship that we had, which in any friendship, of course, there'd be ups and the downs, but we weathered them all. Beyond that, Trish Ashby-Rolls was an amazing advocate. She was a person who stood up and made a voice for people who didn't have a voice. She, in her 40s, started to remember, after spinal cord surgery, she started to remember experiences of horrific childhood sexual abuse and cult abuse. And this became her opening up, her own awakening, and an understanding for herself of how it is, or how it was that she had been showing up in the world in what she described as a toxic relationship with herself, but not knowing where those behaviors were coming from. And after her spinal cord surgery, it was like she had been in a cocoon, she had been a chrysalis, and she was cracking open, and she was learning how to spread these incredible wings. She had been a journalist, she had been an actress, she had been a model. She was always somebody who stood up on the stage. And when she became a journalist, she then became a TV news reporter and an anchor in Toronto, Ontario, news anchor. And all of this led her to this place of knowing that when her story broke open for her, that it was a story that she had to move through, do the incredible deep healing that was necessary from this, and then bring her story forward, which takes incredible courage and vulnerability to bring it forward as a way for other people who have been in similar situations or who were in similar situations see that there is a way out. There is a door that you can walk through and you can open. And so she ended up writing her story in this incredible book called Triumph, A Journey of Healing from Incest, in which she takes you through this whole experience. And it's not an easy experience, obviously, but it's also very complicated and complex, and especially when the abuse starts at such a young age. There's a lot to unravel with that. And I was part of that journey for her, as was my father. And even after they were no longer together, she and I still walked that path together. She then went on to, the book became a bestseller, and she went on to hold space for other people's stories and continued up to the very day that she died. And she died of a heart rupture, an aortic rupture followed by a catastrophic stroke. She was writing, she was sending manuscripts to publishers. She was constantly finding people's stories of trauma and healing from that trauma and bringing those stories forward as a way to validate other people's experiences and to demonstrate what is possible within the human capacity for healing and within the human spirit. Mm. Such an incredible mentor, and the world is a less colorful place now that she's not with us.
And this is what today's show's about.
Yeah.
It is this moment where we get to honor people.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you listening, you know, you've heard what we've been talking already about earlier today. It is this place where we talk about this movement, this transition, this journey we take on death and dying. But when we come back from break, we're going to talk about something that we don't really do a good job of talking about. And on the previous show, you heard Mike say that if he were doing then what he's doing now, he may have been able to save a life. What does that mean? And what does it mean to Megan when she looks around, even where she is, even in the process of the place she lives, even in the world of transitioning and death and dying? How well are we doing advocating for those who cannot advocate for themselves? How well are we doing? And what might we learn today? Small things, maybe like asking a question. What might we learn today about honoring, witnessing, and advocating for? Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back. This is On the Edge of Death and Dying, Part 2, playing On the Edge Radio with Megan Edge and me, Dr. Pat. We'll be right back.
Does Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martineemmons.com and make your appointment today. You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Tired of not losing the weight? You need a healthy solution for weight loss that protects your muscle mass as the fat burns away naturally. Holistic Medical Center has the healthy option for your weight loss concern. Lose 1 to 3 pounds per day in 21 days, naturally, under our physician supervision. Call Holistic Medical Center, 425-451-0404. Or on the web, drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife, with me, Susan Dolce,
and me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com and LeonDyer.com.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca. The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Welcome back to a special edition of Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge, Radical Change with Ease, and me, Dr. Pat. This is On the Edge of Dying, On the Edge of Death and Dying Part 2. And this is about the experiences that Megan's going to share of what it was like to lose somebody very close to her and to really honor the process that those have asked for, those that cannot advocate for themselves, and there are many. Mm-hmm. For those of you, if you want to find out more about Megan, you can go ahead and go to meganedge.ca. That's one of the things you can do. Certainly on Facebook, you can go to Megan Edge, Facebook Megan Edge Healing. And then there's also what we were talking about earlier when, Megan, you referred to really working with your dad with oils and so forth. That's also something else that you do, is introduce people to essential oils and really open this whole new world for them as well in what you've learned, right?
Absolutely. Plant medicines and aromatherapy are the foundations and basis for all modern medicine. And in the Western world, we tend to forget that. We've created a huge divide between the natural world and our health and well-being. And I see this all the time, and I see this from my own personal experience. You know, when I say that I've had 17 surgeries, that means I've actually been in hospital 17 different times for these various surgeries. I've run the gamut of the medical system. And I will say very clearly, I value the medical system. Our medical system is incredible in so many ways. It's also a very young medical system. And so there's still a lot of learning and growing and integrating to do. And my hope and vision for the future of medicine is that we continue to build bridges between alternative medicines, traditional medicines, and modern medicine here in the West. You know, I was thinking about it today as I was walking through one of our grocery stores, and it's an Asian-owned grocery store. They bring in foods from all over the world. It's incredibly multicultural. And on the shelf, one of these shelves, there's a whole section of medicinal mushrooms, herbs, dried roots, dried leaves, dried flowers that are sold in the grocery store. If you know what these are for, and if you know how to work with these, you know that you can use them to help support your immune system. You can use them to help with inflammation. There's this whole huge ancient body of work, and it's right there in front of us. But because it's a holistic approach to healing and well-being, not a divisive approach, it's not as easily measurable by Western science medicine standard. And so it tends to get pushed aside. With the essential oils and the aromatherapy, this is what I did with my father when he was in the ICU, and then actually when he was in the hospital as well. And I did it again with my friend Trish. I just brought them in. Now, when I work with essential oils, I work with a very specific type of essential oil. I'm working with therapeutic, medical grade, pure essential oils from Young Living Essential Oils. I do not work with any other oils because the purity is what's so important. No additives, no alcohols, no extenders, any of those sorts of things. So these are medical grade essential oils that we're working with. And hospitals all over the world, including in the U.S., use these Young Living oils therapeutically. But here in Canada, we're a little behind the times when it comes to this sort of thing. And most people think of aromatherapy as perfume, if they think of it at all. So we're not allowed. We're not allowed to bring scents into our hospitals for good reasons. Lots of people have allergies to perfumes and other synthetic scents, and they don't know the therapeutic value of these pure scents. I am a bit of a rebel, and we were talking on the break about not necessarily always following the rules. So in this case, I'm not following the rules. I'm coming into the hospital, in my father's case, the ICU, in my dear friend's case, the palliative care unit, and the moment I walk through that door into her room, out come my essential oils, out come my plant medicines, my herbs, out come all the things I know that I can use, not to save her life necessarily at this point, but to ease her suffering. Right? And that's really what it is all about for me. It's how can I ease her suffering, knowing that she's has a DNR in place, that's a do not resuscitate in place, has asked for no heroic measures. But because the aortic rupture and the stroke were so catastrophic and happened so quickly, and the result was that she didn't have cognitive function to the extent that she could sign an assist, we had to watch her die. They couldn't help her with that process. So that's where my rebellious spirit shows up and says, okay, well, if even though we know she's dying, and you, according to the law, medical law, we can't assist her because she's not cognitive enough to sign a piece of paper saying that's what she would like, but she has a do not resuscitate, so we know that that's her desire. What can I do to advocate for her?
Right. Isn't that the question right there, though?
Yes.
I mean, let's just make sure everybody really gets what you just said, because this is the point where when people are in the same scenario, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. And why do we believe that? Because we don't know what you're about to share. We don't know what you're about to say. We're at a place where, yep, we're honoring the process, absolutely honoring the process, and there's nothing else we could do. That's, you know, that's the reality of where people are. But you're about to talk about, well, maybe not. Maybe there are things you could do, right? Because
yes.
People really are at that place. Yes, that's what you wanted. There's nothing for us to do.
Yeah. The way that I approach it is this. First of all, there's always something you can do. I refuse to believe that there is nothing that can be done to help someone when they need help. There is always something that can be done. In her case, really, and somebody in the medical profession can correct me if I'm wrong, and I did have some very frank conversations with the doctors as well as the nurses, all of whom were amazing, let me just say. I have no gripes with them whatsoever. They did a fabulous job with the job that they were doing. But their hands were also tied by the legal aspect of it and what was available to them. You know, essential oils are not available to the nurses. They're not at the nurses' station. Lavender in little pouches is not something that's generally given out for the nurses to bring into people's palliative rooms. More the shame. But guess what I did? I brought in a basket full of pouches of lavender buds that I had harvested myself from my lavender, and I handed them out to all the nurses as a thank you. Because when they would come into her room and see her holding the pouch, my friend holding the pouch of lavender that I'd given her in her hand, and the whole room smells like lavender, they were thrilled. They were thrilled, you know. So there are lots of little things that one can do to help ease a person's discomfort. In the conversations that I had with the doctors, some of my questions were around, what are we exactly doing here? We are starving her and we are dehydrating her. We're not giving her any nourishment and we're not giving her any liquids except for a little sponge on her mouth so her tongue doesn't swell up, so she doesn't choke on her tongue. And I'm looking at the doctor and saying, sorry, so we're keeping her alive so she can die? That doesn't make any sense to me. We would put our dog down. We would put our cat down. I've held my hamster in my hand, and I've been the one to do the carbon dioxide so the hamster dies so it's no longer suffering. But we're not going to do that for our loved one. And I think this is where, in fact, I know, this is where a lot of family members end up standing in the corner and weeping, because they don't know that there's anything that they can do.
Yep. It's helpless and hopeless. It's
right.
The combination of feeling helpless and hopeless. And it doesn't matter that you know the end game.
Right.
See, we don't talk about the process points.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about the journey points that
right.
you're describing.
Right.
Because we think there's one option only, and it's like, I can't do anything. And that feeling
yeah.
of helplessness about somebody you love. Megan, one of the things that happens, and I'd love for you to talk to this, when a family or a family member or somebody goes through this and watches this for somebody they love,
mm-hmm.
the imprint that has on them for life is devastating.
It is devastating. It is absolute trauma, and it creates a PTSD response in people. Unless they have tools and the wherewithal to ease their loved one's suffering so that they feel like they're making a difference for the person who is dying. And this is where it does take some courage on part of the family member to stand up to the medical rules and regulations, to the very people who are instituting them, because that's their job, and kindly and with compassion for the other person, like the nurse or the doctor, demonstrate what is possible for helping to ease their loved one's suffering. So, for example, when I walked into her palliative care room, off came my mask immediately. Off came my mask. I am not wearing a mask in the palliative room of my dear friend so that her last vision of me is with half of my face covered. And what am I possibly going to bring into the palliative care room? She's already dying. And I know that I'm healthy. So that was the first thing. And part of that was, A, because I need to be able to breathe, quite frankly, and she needs to see my face to know and recognize me, even when her cognitive state was the way that it was from the stroke. She could still recognize us. So she needed to know that we were there and see all of our faces. But also, because as a survivor of incest and sexual trauma, a mask is incredibly triggering. And not a lot of people are talking about this, but this is something really real for a lot of people over these last 18 months. It is not a nice thing to see somebody with their face covered if you have been the victim or are the survivor of sexual assault or incest or any other kind of abuse where the perpetrator has been wearing a mask or has had their face covered. And I know for a fact from my dear friend that that was one of her scenarios, more than once, as a matter of fact. And so for her to be lying in the bed already feeling fairly infantile, because that's usually what happens to us psychologically when we're lying in a hospital bed, to have somebody looming over her with a face mask on, my face mask on, absolutely not. And I was just very clear with the nurses and I was very clear with the doctors. This is how it's going to be. I'm going to insist that anybody who comes in, not the doctors and nurses, they have their own protocols, but for friends and family coming in, we will not be wearing masks in here. So that was one of the very first things. The second thing that I did was I opened the window. Now, I've been in hospital many, many times. I never knew that there are some hospitals in which you can open the window. As you should be able to. Florence Nightingale demonstrated this to us over 100 years ago. We know how important fresh air is. But most people walk into a hospital room and it's stagnant air, it's recycled air, it's stuffy, and there's no option to bring in fresh air. But this hospital here in Victoria, the new wing that was built about 15 years ago, they put these little grids at the bottom of the window that you can flip open. Most of the nurses didn't know that this was even a possibility. The two doctors that she had, they didn't know that there were window, that the window could open. Now, I know my friend. She loved the outdoors. She loved being in her garden. She loved being in the forest. The second I figured out that that was a window that could open, that window was open, and it stayed open. I put a note on the whiteboard that said, leave the window open. And the beautiful thing, Pat, and I saw this with my father, too, when I would bring in the oils. He didn't have a window, unfortunately, so we couldn't open the window for him. But the doctors and nurses and family and friends walking into the room, breathe in, and the first comment out of everyone's mouth is, oh, my gosh, it feels so beautiful in here. What are you doing? What's going on? Why does it feel so lovely and light and loving in here? Well, because of these little things that I was doing, that I just did them. Now, I can be very courageous, and I can certainly get in someone's face if they're going to give me a hard time about this, and I know that's not how everybody is. But you've got to do a something, you know, when you're in this. I would consider it a blessing. When you are blessed enough to be able to say goodbye to a dear loved one in this way, then do it in a way that honors your own healing process as well, so that you don't have that PTSD trauma response to watching somebody die, that you don't feel like there's nothing you can do about it. Because you can. You know, I also knew that Trish, from her spinal cord surgeries and various other injuries that she was experiencing, was in a lot of pain. And, okay, so the doctor tells me she's not hungry. We know, we believe that they're not, people aren't hungry after they've gone through this kind of experience. Okay.
The doctor's telling you that.
The doctor's telling me this. Okay,
right.
She's not hungry. All right. That's probably because her stomach has shrunk so much at this point. But, okay, she's not hungry. But what about thirst? Because she's asking for water. She's asking for it. And if I say to her, Trish, do you need some water? Yes, 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 is what she would say. And so I would go, and I had a little syringe. They had these funny little sponge things at the end of a plastic thing. You're supposed to try to put it in her mouth, and it would just dribble all over her face. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. So I brought in a little plastic syringe. And I brought in my pine needle tea. And I gave her
the pine needle tea, and I just squirted it slowly into her mouth. Now, I mean, at this point, it's not like I'm interfering with any medical processes, because there are none. It's really about how can I make her more comfortable. And giving her water may prolong, because basically what it does is it infuses her whole body, and all the cells in her body go, oh, okay, whew, we can live a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
But it really wasn't about having her live a little longer. She lived for 8 days in this state, which to me is one of the most cruel things I can imagine doing to somebody. But
terrific, actually, when you think about it.
It really is. And now having, knowing, of course, the nurses were doing what was within their capacity to do.
That's correct.
Give her pain medication and give her muscle relaxants and ease her. But, you know, they didn't know about her back. So they had her lying on her back. And then they're wondering why she's in pain. And I'm saying that you have to roll her to her side. You know, this is what I know. And one of the doctors did say to me, thank you for advocating for your mother. Because we didn't know that. It's not in her file. You know, we're just getting to know her through family and friends as they come in. So thank you for that. You know, here's the thing about it, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
What I see happening is that people walk through a hospital door, or they walk into their doctor's office, and it's like they regress in age to a childlike place of revering the white coat and the stethoscope and forgetting that they have autonomy.
Yeah.
That they have a voice and that they have to advocate for themselves or those who cannot advocate for themselves.
Yeah. And honestly, and I know I've shared this on before, I don't know if Linda has done it with me, but if we'd have done that when her brother was admitted to the hospital, you know, he'd be dead right now. If we'd have just listened to this and hadn't been aware of exactly what was going on with him, and even with his family and his spouse in the room, you know, vying into the fact that they were saying, oh, he got, you know, maybe he got something in Bermuda. No, he got bit by a tick 3 times, which had Lyme in it, and this is a co-infection. I mean, Linda and I, who I'm not sure should have really been there, I don't know, even remember how we were there, like why were we even there for that, to the point, Megan, where you know your soul is telling you, open your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about who you're going to offend. But you said something so vital and important. I want to talk about it when we come back, because all of this really ties into how do we follow what we know is in our hearts?
Mm-hmm.
Are we courageous enough to know that advocating for another is sometimes doing things that are uncomfortable, like standing in a room and disagreeing when everybody's in there, in a room, just doing it.
Yeah.
Or saying to someone, you know, she's got a back problem. Be a good idea to turn her on her side. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Megan about what do you do as you go through this journey with another, but what do you do to understand the vigil, to understand the ceremony, to understand how in some cultures it's a ritual, it's a passage, it's a rite. And in our culture, maybe not so much. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, do you wait for healing? Does healing come to you? Or do you grow up in a culture that says suffer in silence? We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Megan Edge playing on the Edge. We'll be right back.
Taught you or your kids how to handle stress? That's right, no one. I'm combat veteran Deb Lewis, and I'm on a mission to change that. My new children's book, Why is Pono Not Pono Today, is set in Hawaii. Lovable characters, Pono the Bull and his friend Kuleana, show us how a stressful situation ends happily. Look closer to reveal powerful ways to handle all types of stress. Start loving your stress-filled life today. Go to mentallytoughwomen.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Everybody, welcome back. Thank you all for joining us today. I am so honored and thrilled, Megan, for sure, that this is a journey and this is a story that is so powerful, not easy to tell, and has to be told. Because, you know, it's almost as if we're going to go through what we've gone through and are still going through, just saying, kind of brush aside the idea of what people have gone through and not talking about, is there another way? Is there a way to just very simply describe what options people may have that they haven't thought about. And isn't that what you're doing? And Megan, you know, let's just take a moment and make sure people know how they can find out more about you. And then, you know, let's continue with this, because let's continue with the idea of healing, and let's continue with the idea of what compassion means, and then honoring, you know, this thing that we don't even realize we have the power to do. What's the best place for people to find out what you're doing and what you're offering in terms of class and stuff right now?
Well, they can certainly go to my website, which is meganedge.ca. I'm working on some classes right now. I haven't got anything on the go at the moment, but I am working on a herbal health class, an online herbal health class, and that will be working with the herbs and plant medicines as well as the aromatherapy and essential oils of herbs. And then I'm working on another one that is for the conifers. So this is tree medicine and working with the different parts of the trees as well as the resins and the essential oils of the trees. And that's learning how to identify these different plants, learning how to work with them really easily on a daily basis, and why you would want to work with them. So these are things that are coming down the pipe for people to get excited about. And you can also find me on YouTube. We have a beautiful YouTube channel, Megan Edge Healing, on YouTube. We've got over 400 videos. All of our radio shows, all of our 47 radio shows are there, as well as many classes, workshops, resources, ways to learn about how to help yourself, learn about all sorts of amazing things. So that's another really beautiful way to see the work that I do. And then, of course, you can work with me personally. We can work online. We can work in person. There's lots of ways that we can do that work together.
Megan, first of all, again, let me thank you for everything you're doing, and let me thank you for taking this conversation forward. I want to get to the place where, you know, you and I were talking during the break, and one of the things that we were talking about is the fact that this is a journey you took with someone that was awake enough to ask you for water or awake enough to understand conversations. You were there. And, you know, at what point did things change for you? And there's always the question that comes up, right? Mm-hmm. The question is, do I begin to heal? What does that even look like? You know, can I begin the healing process in the middle of honoring? How did that all work for you? What did you literally see happen within those rooms and within yourself?
So there's two parts to this. First is my own personal healing, and then the healing that I was able to offer to my friend. The moment that I heard that this had happened to her, I went into healing mode. And I do this for anybody. Any friend comes up to me, any family member, a stranger on the street, complaining about an ache, a pain, a whatever it is, my brain immediately goes to, I could help with that. let me think about how I can help with that. I've got a technique, you know, I've got a massage, I've got an essential oil blend, I've got a plant medicine, I've got food that I know would help you with this. So I immediately go to that place because for me that's my own healing piece. I never have enjoyed the feeling of helplessness around someone else's well-being. And I have I have so much knowledge, so many things that I've learned and researched and taught over the years about how to help a person, both mentally, spiritually, physically. So that sense of action is for me the starting point for healing, always. What action can I take? And at the same time, allowing whatever emotion to surface. You know, so I mean, as you saw earlier in the show, I don't mind crying in front of someone. If it comes to the surface, it comes to the surface. So I can stop, I can be speaking to a doctor or a nurse, and I can be talking about, here's the practical thing that needs to be done, or here's the question I have for you about what's happening here. And I can also be crying as an honoring of my own feelings and for the loss that I'm seeing right in front of me. You know, I believe that if we wait to do the healing piece because we feel like we have to be strong and present in the moment, then the healing is going to be, and I don't like to use the word harder, but it's a harder thing to get to if we push it aside rather than let it be part of that process. You know, so there were times when I was sitting with her, holding her hand or massaging her feet or whatever I was doing, and I was crying. Yeah. And I was saying to her, I'm really going to miss you.
Yeah.
You know, where are you going? Why are you doing this? There were times when I would go into the what if. You know, what if my family had been able to get in touch with me the night this happened instead of 3 days later? You know, what if I could have got there sooner? Mm-hmm. What if I could have started advocating for her the moment that this happened because she was asking for me and they didn't know how to get a hold of me? That's a whole other part of the story. And I can't sit in regret. I don't advocate anyone sit in regret because that's not healthy. But I can ask what if, and the what if can lead to how would I do it differently next time.
Right.
Right. Part of the healing is the learning, learning to be in the healing, is learning the illness, is learning what's going on. I've never sat with someone who has had a massive catastrophic stroke from a blood clot that was released from an aortic rupture before. Who has? Right?
No.
Not like that's in the textbooks for life.
Yeah. And certainly not for very long. I mean, even if you have been through that experience, I don't know if people heard that this was 8 days.
Yeah. 8 days. That speaks to, in one side, her vitality, mm-hmm. her resilience, her being a survivor. I mean, this is a woman who has survived so many things in her life and took life as an adventure. And said, I want to know all of it. I want to feel all of it. And we see this in people who are dying. They hang on. They hang in there until certain people can come in so they can have that connection. And I watched so many friends show up in Trisha's room over the 5 days that I was with her, of the 8 days, come in and tell stories about her to us and write notes to her on the whiteboard. We had this whole whiteboard set up. It's supposed to be for the doctors to write notes on. Never mind that. We just covered it with love notes for Trish. And the doctors loved it. You know, here's a quick aside for anybody who's listening to this. If you want your loved one to get extra special care from the doctors and nurses, you make sure that their room is as inviting as absolutely possible. Because the nurses will stay longer.
Yeah.
They'll have better conversations with you.
Yeah.
The doctors will stay longer.
Yeah.
The doctor came and sat with me on the sofa, and we spent about a half an hour talking about death, talking about death vigils, talking about death in different cultures. He was sharing with me what he's learned about death as a doctor in his training.
Mm.
And really, it's what I've always suspected. Death is the ultimate failure. And yet, here he was sitting next to me saying, I love how you're honoring this process. I love the sacredness of this. I love that you're anointing her with oils on her forehead and that you're putting herbs in her hands and under her pillows and that you're playing music for her and you're honoring. She was an ordained Buddhist nun. In her 60s, she decided to learn to train to be an ordained Buddhist nun. Went to Japan, did the monastery, shaved her head, the whole thing. This was the amazingness of this woman. And he got to know her by taking that time. But would he have done that necessarily to the extent that he did if the room itself wasn't as welcoming, if he wasn't seeing the love and attention and the honoring that was happening for her?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that he wouldn't do that for somebody else, but would he be as drawn in if not for all the things that we were doing? We were blowing bubbles in her room, Pat. My younger daughter, every day we were there, she blew these sticky bubbles, and the whole room would be filled with bubbles, and the nurses would walk in. What? This is so magical. This is so mystical. And that's what a death vigil is. A death vigil is sitting with someone as they are dying, going through this process, whatever that process is, and however it, peaceful or not peaceful it is. And quite frankly, the human spirit wants to stay for most of the time, like the human body does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, she did. She rallied. That was a really amazing and also painful day because she was, she knew who we were. She was calling us by name. She was telling us she loved us. She was telling us how beautiful she were, or we were. She was hugging us. She was laughing at our jokes. She was singing James Taylor with us.
Yeah.
We had this day of, oh, my gosh, it's almost like she's back.
Yeah.
And then the next day, she was mostly not there.
Yeah. And we went through that with our friend Lucy.
Yeah.
And you're right about it. Open-hearted, and it's hard at the same time.
Yeah. And what a blessing and what an honor to be able to do that. I don't know if you have this down in the States or in Seattle. I'm sure you have it in some places in the States. But up here in Canada, there's a profession called the death doula. And a death doula is someone who is trained to understand the process of death and dying and to be able to offer support, just like a birth doula does, for the entry of life, for the end of life. And it's something that I wish more people were aware of and had the wherewithal to have that kind of because a death doula doesn't only hold the hand of the person who's dying.
Yes.
They educate the family about the process and advocate on behalf of the family to make sure that the loved one is receiving the comfort and care that they require. And I think gives empowerment to the family as well to find their own voice. And for me, ultimately, the last and greatest gift that I could give to her was to be her voice when she had now lost it, after all the voices that she had given to other people who didn't have a voice. And 2 weeks later, and this is where I want to just leave people with this beautiful experience, was that 2 weeks after her death, she came to me in a dream, as our loved ones often do, and she was looking at her age. She was 78 when she died. She was looking her beautiful age, and I have shared some photos. I'm hoping we'll be able to get them up in the replay to see this beautiful woman. She was looking strong and she was looking healthy, and she said to me, "It's sorry it's taken me so long to get back to you, but it's taken me a while to find my voice and my words again." And she was a writer, she was an actress, she was a public speaker, she was a journalist, and in those 8 days, she lost her voice and she lost her words. So here she was in the studio telling me that it's just taken her a little while. She would have come sooner, but it's taken her a while to find her words and her voice again, and to let me know that she misses us, but she's okay.
Mm.
And could I please tell my girls that until she can get to them herself? Mm. it comes full circle from that moment of the shock that we experience when we realize, oh my gosh, somebody's in the hospital, they've had a heart attack, they've been in a car accident, fallen down the stairs, whatever it is. It's a shock to our system. And then it's the whole process of how we work with that information, what we do with it, how we show up for ourselves, how we show up for other people in that. And then should it be that the person dies, then it's that process of, okay, wow, where do I go from here?
You've been listening to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show Network, providing you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. If you've missed any part of this episode...